I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So you guys know that aside from being a huge Bravo fan, obviously, I can't get enough of my Kardashians. And I got to fulfill one of my greatest wishes, which was to interview the executive producer of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Firnaz Farjam. I got to fangirl over all of my favorite Keeping Up moments and ask her all my burning questions about the sisters. Hear that interview. Thank you, Firnaz, for joining us today. You're the executive producer on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and I need to ask you all of the questions. So to begin, can you explain what it means to be an executive producer on a show like Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
What it means to be an executive producer on Keeping Up with the Kardashians means that I am there from pre-production all the way through post. You know, I meet with the family, figure out what they have going on, put together the team from top to bottom, as far as, you know, creative, production, story, editorial, camera people, audio people, segment people. And yeah, I build the team and figure out what's the best stories to follow with the family and how to execute and, you know, film with them so that, you know, we could deliver a compelling series for their fans and the audience.
When did you start working on this show?
Day one, frame one.
Wow. So was your title always executive producer?
Season one, it was co-executive producer. I think it was like season one, episode one, which was co-executive producer. And by episode two, it was executive producer.
Wow. How did you get this job? What was your career trajectory?
I started in the business in 1999. Mm-hmm. I did a movie. It might have been 1998. I can't even remember. It's been so long. But I did a movie called Gods and Monsters as an intern at first. And then, you know, got the bug and started working my way up. At first, I was kind of more going towards production coordinating, production managing, and line producing. And then once I was in the line producing role, I kind of started dabbling in creative just because sometimes as a line producer, you have to find solutions for things. And then on a show called Born to Diva, I was hired as a supervising producer instead of a line producer. And kind of started shifting and working more with the segment team and, yeah, just worked my way up.
Wow. You know, the Kardashians are everywhere. I don't think that there's anyone on this earth who isn't familiar with that name. But I imagine it wasn't like that at the beginning. At what point did you have to stop explaining what you did for a living?
I think I still have to sometimes explain what I do because it's so hard.
Yeah.
Executive producer is so broad. But I would say season four, the show blew up right after Khloe married Lamar.
Right. Do you think that was just a result of all of the press coverage and sort of a wider audience now that like we were sort of in the basketball world?
Potentially. I think that definitely helped. When did social media start too? Because I think that kind of helped too. I feel like the show kind of had a perfect storm of many things that worked in its favor. You know, I mean, it definitely was getting traction from, you know, even season one, we had to rush to air. And then, you know, it was six episode pickup. And, you know, by the fifth episode airing, the network kind of knew that the audience was growing and growing. So they added two more episodes. So it was like a gradual build and then it just blew up.
Yeah. And there were so many spinoffs over the years. Which of those did you work on?
I oversaw all of them, but I was physically on location for Take Miami 1, Take Miami 2, I went out for the first couple of weeks of Take New York 1. I just went out for the first couple of weeks and then kind of handed it off to a showrunner. And then Chloe and Lamar, I was on the whole time physically. Yeah. And then, you know, I oversaw Robin Shine. I oversaw all of them.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I've watched every episode, but the episodes that I tend to revisit over and over is particularly the Kim and Chris Humphrey's wedding special, like the whole spinoff dedicated to that, their journey to the altar.
Yeah.
But then I like to go back to the final episode when they're in New York together and like she sort of has this realization that the marriage is over.
Yeah.
Because to me it is, as someone who just devours reality TV, it's one of the realest and rawest moments that you can never question the authenticity of it.
Yeah.
For you, what are those moments when you think of the show that you're just like, wow, like could not have written this?
I mean, there are so many. There's, you know, Caitlin's transition.
Yeah.
Chloe's divorce. Kim's robbery.
Yeah.
You know, Scott's spirals, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot about when he and Courtney had broken up and it was really the final time and him having to come and face all of the sisters.
Yeah.
And he's wearing sunglasses because he's just like, he can't stop crying. And oh, like so many really real moments. And it's like one of the things that when I'm always convincing people, like this show is it. It's like, these are the things that I say, you know, and it's amazing to me that they continued to put their life out for so long, despite getting so famous and getting, you know, amassing so much in terms of wealth and personal endorsements. Did it ever surprise you that they kept with the show for so long?
I don't know. I feel like Kim and I always joked that we were going to make it to season 20.
Really? That's great.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Why do you think they loved doing the show?
I think they loved doing the show because it even though it has its hardships, it's really hard when people are judging you and insulting you and saying terrible things about you. But on the flip side, there are people who love them, feel like they have personal healing in their own personal lives by watching them overcome things. By watching them be there for each other, I think it inspires people. And I think when their fans communicate that to them, it kind of fuels them to keep going.
Yeah. Because, you know, they're executive producers on the show as well, aren't they?
Yes.
So how much are things a discussion, like those tougher episodes that maybe they don't always feel like is the most flattering for them?
They weigh in a lot in edit. And ironically, they're very open with their own mistakes and their own feelings. They're also very thoughtful about how they position a lot of other people. You know, they definitely do weigh in and edit because they don't want to, you know, they know they're there to share their feelings and share their journey, but they try to do it without trying to make other people look bad.
Right. You know, I'm always curious because we really had the three older sisters, Chloe, Kim, and Courtney. You know, they have stayed such a large part of the show. I mean, the show is about their lives and they're heavily featured in all the episodes. Why do you think that the younger sisters, Kendall and Kylie, took a step back?
It's funny because I feel like Kylie became more participatory this last season towards the end. And Kendall has dipped in and out.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were at an age, like if you think about when you're a young adult coming into your adulthood, I think you sometimes care a lot more what the outside world has to say about you. And like they see, like Kylie did share her relationship with Tyga. We showed their relationship, you know, quite a bit on Keeping Up. And then Travis didn't really want to participate. And then Kendall's always had this rule, which, you know, she just felt like she had to be with someone for at least a year before they could be, before she lets them like be a part of the show and in the show, because she doesn't always know what people's intentions are.
Right.
So that's why we've kind of kept her personal life out of it, just because she had a rule.
Well, you know, speaking of, you know, the breakups, I am curious because you, I imagine even though it's a job, you must get somewhat invested in their lives because you guys, it seems like a family. Which of all the breakups and divorces, which surprised you the most?
I mean, I would say, I don't know if anything surprised me because they are like family to me. And you watch, like I get such more of an intimate look into what the cracks are.
Right.
You know, like even when Kim was going to marry Chris Humphries, when she first started dating him, you knew she was head over heels and, you know, she'd go visit him. And I don't know what it was. I think it was like all of a sudden she was like craving the guy that made her feel normal and not like, you know, this celebrity, because he had this way about him.
Yeah.
Where he just, you know, talked to her normal and like almost picked on her and all this stuff. And then after a while, it got weird. So like to the point where like it wasn't funny anymore.
Right.
And I remember off camera, myself, Chloe, a lot of us were like, are you sure you want to marry him? She kept trying to convince herself she was sure. Then she had a little bit of cold feet. We were like, it's fine. Who cares? It's a TV show. They'll figure it out. Like if you don't want to go through it. She was like, no. I think it's just, I'm getting nervous. It's cold feet. That one was hard. Chloe and Lamar was really hard because Chloe loved Lamar so, so much.
Yeah.
And Lamar is actually a really good guy. He just had a really bad problem.
Yeah.
And to watch a really good guy have such a bad problem was so hard. And we all knew before it came out, like we just protected him because it's not our place to exploit someone who's going through that kind of a struggle. And we weren't even going to really put it on the show until he kind of got pulled over and then it was out in the world. And then it was kind of time to tell that story.
Wow. I mean, do you feel like you know the sisters even better than they know each other, because you do have to know so much about their life in order to make the show?
No, I think they know each other and themselves well. I do.
Yeah. I just wonder if it gets hard because you're like working with these individuals and you know so much, and then it's like, do you have to sort of keep the information close to your chest almost, you know? But
yeah, for me, I will say the Chris and Caitlin was the hardest for me to navigate, because Kris Jenner, I truly consider as like one of my girlfriends, and like, you know, we used to hang out and like, you know, have a martini after every shoot day. And like, I still consider her very close, but when the Caitlyn transition happened, there was a little, it changed our relationship a little bit, because I was trying to do the right thing for everybody. And, you know, at 60 something years old, coming out to be your authentic self, I was very supportive. And because I was being supportive, I was not recognizing the shock that Kris Jenner was going through.
Right.
And I probably should have been paying just as much attention to her. That was a hard one to navigate, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I always think about that, just even how much the world has changed in how we view trans issues and trans rights. Like, I mean, so much has happened so quickly.
Yeah.
And it's great, but it also, I think, then is hard. I just always imagined it must be so hard for the family to deal with that publicly, because you want to do the right thing and you want to say the respectful thing for all these people watching. But at the same time, like, you're going through it personally And that has to be just very hard, it seems.
Yeah, it was. It was really, really hard. And there was like many days and nights where Kris Jenner was, you know, bawling her eyes out and probably feeling very alone because everybody was, you know, rallying around someone who finally felt like they could be free and finally felt like they could be themselves. And, you know, here's someone who was married to someone they thought they knew for 20 something years.
Yeah. As so many relationships have, you know, come and gone and babies came into the picture, it always seems like the Kardashians were sort of always trying to re-examine where their line was, like where their boundaries were, you know, because it seems like at first Kim wasn't going to show Northwest on the show at all. And then did.
Yep.
And even, you know, filming inside her home, I know, it was mentioned in articles and stuff that Kanye at first wasn't okay with filming in the house, and then he was, and he had a lot of opinions. Was it ever hard for you too, like, you know, as their line kind of kept moving?
I have just learned to be very nimble. And their line does move all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got to be an interesting challenge for sure. I also wondered if it was hard, if it became hard making the show as they became more famous, because everything they do becomes a headline. So then you're sort of, I even know for, you know, Bravo on our shows, it you don't want a lot of things getting out because you want everything to be new and fresh when the show comes out. So was that a challenge?
Yeah. It definitely became a challenge when everything started becoming a headline. Now, I don't know that it worked against the show all the time, because sometimes the headlines were wrong and then people tune in and or they understand where that headline came from. So I don't think that it really hurt the show.
Yeah.
But I do think the more famous they got and the more people, you know, people perceive certain scenarios or certain situations in their own way. And like, let's say, you know how it works. You shoot for 2 hours, and out of those 2 hours, you put in 3 minutes of the conversation or whatever. And I think, you know, with more fame and more people judging you, watching you, talking about you, they got a little bit more guarded as the time went by. And I think that part became harder.
Yeah. For sure. One thing that is just so noticeably different watching the show now versus from the beginning is how the relationship between the sisters has evolved. And it used to really be that Courtney and Khloé were just inseparable. And you always sort of felt like Kim was the odd man out.
Yep.
And now it sort of has changed and it feels like Courtney is. What do you sort of attribute that to? Do you think that has anything to do with the show?
No. I don't think it has anything to do with the show. I think it's just them evolving, their lives changing. You know, Courtney and Khloé were always kind of the sisters. You know, Kim always knew she wanted to be famous. The other two were just like living life and having fun. And so they liked to tease Kim about all the fancy things she did. And it was kind of like fun for them to do that to her. But as they all grew up, they had kids. Parenting skills came into play. Different businesses came into play. I think just life changed their dynamic. I will say right now, all three of them are pretty close. Right now, I would even say Kendall and Kylie are way closer to their sisters. Mm. Yeah, I think it just, you know, it depends on what they're going through in life, who they're leaning on. At the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. It's like they all go through, like people always go, who's your favorite? I'm like, it goes in waves, guys. It's never the same person that's my favorite. Like I love all of them, but you know, people go through snippets of like, I'm like, Kim's my favorite right now, or Khloé's my favorite right now, or Courtney's my favorite right now, because it's just, it depends on what's happening and where their heads at.
Has there ever been one that was consistently easier to shoot with than the rest?
Nope.
Oh, interesting. You know, because I feel like Kim has the reputation of being very prompt, professional. So I would think it would be her, but interesting. changes.
Yeah, it changes.
Gosh, I mean, there have been some really brutal arguments between them captured on the show, which again is one of the reasons I love it. I don't have sisters, and there's something so fascinating to me about the fact that grown women can fight like cats and dogs, but also be there for one another in like the most amazing way.
They love each other. And to be honest, they'll talk to me like that too. And I had to learn to have thick skin and realize I can't take it personal. And they know they could talk to me like that because they know they love me and they trust me. So I had to like digest, like they're talking to me like they talk to each other. So right. Don't take it personal. Like,
right. But has one ever hit you with their purse like they would each other?
No. No. Because I don't take jabs back at them. Right.
Oh, gosh. What as you look back, are like the highlights when you think about the show and like what you're proudest of, or, you know, just you think are the funniest? What are moments that stand out to you?
Do you remember the episode where Scott and Courtney pretended to be Caitlin and Chris and made the...
Oh.
I peed my pants making them do that one. That was so funny. What's another good one? Oh, when Chris Jenner's lip swole up.
Oh my God, I loved that moment.
Oh my God. And it was so funny because Chris Jenner texted me at like 6:30 in the morning in the Dominican Republic. And she was like, I can't film today. And I was like, what? Question mark. And she was like, no, I'm having a serious allergic reaction. So I ran over to her room, and the way she lifts her hands, that's how she showed it to me. And I fell on the floor. I was like, I am sorry. I love you, but you have to call your kids over here and show them your lip just like that. And she did it. And it's just like, it was such a good sport. And it was so freaking funny. I died when we did Scott's episode when he became the Lord.
Yes.
Oh my God, it was so good. Our executive producer, my showrunner at the time that I had pulled into the field with me, who came out of our story team, but she's so gifted, Andrea Matz. She had found this organization that like literally they'll like sell you a plot of land that's like 2x2 and then you become the lord of that 2x2 manor. And I was like, okay, we could try it. Like, I don't know. And so when the guy came out and started lording Scott, I couldn't keep it together. I had to like walk out of the room and go downstairs because I was crying. I was laughing so hard. You know, I had beautiful experiences with them too. You know, I feel like Armenia was really special. When we were in Breckenridge, it was super fun. I mean, there's so many, like all their births. Oh, the other one was when Chris and Chloe TP'd Kim's house when Kim was super pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
I was inside shooting with Kim and Jonathan by myself with a producer cam, just, you know, because it was, you know, I was just like there with the producer cam. And then Andrea was with Chris and Chloe getting everything ready because we wanted to really surprise Kim and catch her off guard. And I was like, oh my God, Kim's going to fucking murder me as soon as she finds out what's happening.
You know what moment I find myself rewatching? Like if I'm having a bad day, like you can just kind of go to certain clips or like a private collection of YouTube clips. And I always rewatch when Courtney went to the dentist and then she goes to lunch with Chloe and only half of her face is moving.
Oh my God. It's so funny.
It makes me die every time.
Me too. Oh my God. I was in person that day too. Another day I was crying, laughing. Crying, but yeah. Oh my God.
So, you know, obviously I'm watching this season and, you know, I saw the episode where Chris and the sisters break the news that they're not continuing with E and with Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And, you know, I know we see you and they call you out by name, but what was that day like for you?
super emotional. I had found out that this was going to happen that weekend, and we told the crew. That was a Monday morning when we told the crew, and I found out on Saturday. Kris Jenner called me and said, "Hey, do you think you could come over to my house?" And I was like, "Right now?" She's like, "Right now." So I went over there, and then while I was talking to Kris told me everything that was happening, and I was like, "Oh, wow." And then Kim asked me to go to her house. And then I went to Kim's house. And there was a whole conversation about, I don't know what, I still to this day baffled about why they had to like rush the announcement. So they wanted to like rush the announcement and they wanted to like do the whole thing in the press. And Kim, thank God, she was on my side. She was like, "Wait, the crew can't find out because it hits the news. Like, we have to tell the crew ourselves in person." The next morning, Monday morning, we tell the crew, and 30 minutes later, it hits, you know, they have to post and it hits all the news sources. So I was very anxious because I had the information and I was just holding on to it. And I was, you know, this crew, everybody's used to working in freelance, but when you've been on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, a lot of these people have been on the same show for 10 years. So the crew is even a family unit within themselves. And they're used to coming to work with each other every single day. There's like a 2-week break here and a 2-week break there. But they had become such like a family and a well-oiled machine. Like this guy, Cesar Castillo, put together the most beautiful crew compilation reel for everybody. And it's all the crew kind of at all these different locations, from South Africa to the Dominican to Armenia to, you know, our office in LA. Like it was just such like a energy with that team. And to think that was coming to an end was really sad.
Yeah. I mean, I love, you know, the realness of it. And, you know, because we've seen it before on this show, and I will say that I feel it's rare as a reality TV viewer to even talk, kind of break the fourth wall and talk about, you know, I remember when they were trying to decide if Rob and Chyna should have their spinoff and like, should that continue? Like, what were their thoughts? And this was another moment of like talking about it as like really just saying like, yeah, we're on this show, and like referring to the show and like the decision about whether to keep doing it or not, which I love, because it's just the truth. And like that, I think only adds to the reality of the situation, but also just to know that they weren't all necessarily in agreement. You know, like Chloe could have kept going. Scott definitely seems like he wants to keep going.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy what you've done with this season and really like putting a mirror up to it.
Yeah. I honestly thought about it a lot, and viewers know there's camera people around them and people surrounding them. And if we're trying to present something authentic, then like, let it just be authentic.
Yeah. I know that we're getting a reunion on June 17th.
Yeah.
What can fans expect from that? Because this episode's going to be released before then. So I definitely want fans to know why they should tune in.
I mean, Andy went there. There was, you know, there was no limits. The family did not get to see the questions beforehand. Andy, as he does, collected a lot of fan questions, and he, you know, came very prepared, talked to them about everything pretty much. But it's, you know, he talked about everything. He talked about Caitlyn, Kanye, Lamar, Tristan, Kylie's lips, Kylie's relationships, yeah, co-parenting. You know, he tried to really get all those things answered so the fans feel satisfied.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's good closure for all of us?
I do. I do think it will be great closure. Yeah.
And how has this show changed your life?
I still work for Buna Murray. I mean, I definitely started as a showrunner on Keeping Up with the Kardashian all the way through season 9. And then I got promoted at Buna Murray to kind of become more of a current executive, where I oversee a bunch of shows. So I guess it's changed my life in the fact that they're in my life and I love having them in my life.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, I've been to so many parts of the world and got to fly on private jets.
Nice.
Some really, you know, cool things like that. It's not like every show you work on, you get the luxury of a private jet.
Right. What are other shows you currently work on?
Right now we are prepping something for Amazon. You know, I obviously did Total Divas, Total Bellas, Ms. and Mrs. On USA. I did Mariah's World. I actually had to go in the field and be the showrunner for Mariah's World.
That's amazing. How was that?
Yeah. I did get to go on a private jet with her too.
Wow.
And I got to travel with her. That was amazing. I freaking loved her. Like she has people like so misunderstand her. Like she's really down to earth. Like I was on a private jet with her. It was my first time on a private jet with her. She asked me to hold her a glass of red wine and the jet took off. I tripped. The wine spilled all over her. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And she laughed.
Yeah.
She literally laughed. She was not mad. She was so easygoing about it. And I don't know. I think people think she's a diva because she always goes, oh, darling. But it's not. She's imitating someone from her childhood.
Yeah.
She doesn't really talk about like publicly. Yeah. She's actually a really cool lady. I had fun with her.
Yeah, I've always gotten the impression that she's in on the joke, so to say. Like, she, you know, she knows what the world thinks of her and she's happy to play the part in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate all of this. This is a dream come true for me just because I have been such a fan of the show for so long. And I really do appreciate the gift that you've given me in just terms of the show, and I'm really sad to see it go, but I'm glad we get this last season and this reunion, and it feels like a really nice goodbye love letter.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Megan. I appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
Very nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, Miss